Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:08 British Summer Time. Today is September 13th. Well, today was another historic day in that in just the last 2 weeks we've had the ECB announce that it was going to make unlimited purchases of sovereign bonds from peripheral countries, particularly on the short end of the curve, and most particularly for Spain and Italy. And while it has yet to begin those purchases, it has succeeded in compressing the yields for those countries. Then you had the Bank of China announce that it was going to engage in another round of stimulus, and a great deal of that was going to be aimed at the infrastructure sector. And that resulted in a 3% in one-day advance in the Shanghai A share market, and it greatly contributed to the potential that that market has seen a medium-term low. And while many people were expecting Ben Bernanke to make an announcement at Jackson Hole, it was unlikely at that stage because he was not going to be the first central bank to engage in quantitative easing or a fresh round of liquidity provision without seeing the mettle of China and Europe to tackle their own problems. And while there are still considerable issues for the US economy, not least that the velocity of money continues to deteriorate, the US is not the most challenged of the major global economies. Nevertheless, $40 billion a month in purchases of mortgage-backed securities will help to compress the mortgage yields. Additionally, they probably think that there's not a great deal more they can do to compress the yields on treasuries, and it adds a fresh round of liquidity and acts as a multiplying effect to the liquidity that has already been pumped into the system. And what this has resulted in is a significant additional rally for risk assets. It does bear in mind that risk assets have been rallying since the end of May or the beginning of June in the majority of cases, and a significant number were back to the region of their highs from earlier this year. The Dow Jones, the S&P, and the Nasdaq all three rallied by more than 1%, the Dow and the S&P by more than 1.5% in here today. The TSX was up by over 1%, and the Brazilian market was stronger by over 3%. Now, that Brazilian index is worthy of additional mention because it found support at the latter half of last week in the region of the upper side of the June and July range, and now it has rebounded emphatically and pushed on to a new recovery high. It's back up to 62,000, and well, a little bit less than that. And it does look like their medium-term bullish outlook has been reaffirmed. And when one then goes and looks at the performance of commodities, then it acts as a tailwind for commodity-reliant markets, such as Brazil or Canada or South Africa, or indeed New Zealand. And the New Zealand market has been notable because it has been rallying for at least the last week in a very dynamic fashion. And the New Zealand dollar has been that little bit firmer than the Australian dollar over the same period. Since the announcements today happened after the close in Europe, then today's action probably isn't going to have a great deal of bearing as to what is likely to happen tomorrow. The FTSE was one of the few markets in positive territory, and it was up by 0.2%. It is also notable that some of the largest materials and industrial mining companies in the world are listed and are constituents of the FTSE 100. When we look at the actual performance of commodities, then the precious metals stand out in that platinum pushed up today to $1,685, that's stronger by $35. Gold was stronger by almost $35. Silver by $1.41. Palladium by over $8. Copper by over 4 cents on the COMEX contract. nickel by $100, zinc by 18, and Brent crude by over a dollar, West Texas Intermediate by just under a dollar. The industrial miners, the energy complex, and the precious metal complex all look like they're going to go higher. And this is straight out of the playbook, because when we see that the printing presses go into overdrive and central banks increase the supply of money simply at a word, then the value of assets that cannot simply be printed into existence takes on a premium, and that has acted as a boost to the industrial complex generally. GE broke out of a 3-year base last week and has improved on that performance this week. And when one looks at a company like Honeywell, then it's been consolidating below its peak for much of the last few months and is beginning to break upwards from that little range, and it's pushing on towards the upper side of what has been a 12-year range. We're starting to see that industrial companies, which have been wallflowers for much of the last year, are turning to positions of outperformance, and that really is notable. It would suggest that they are responding to the rather extreme measures that the major central banks are now engaged in to help support global GDP growth. And this can be viewed as a concerted effort at global reflation. And that would suggest that the pattern of stock market performance that has been evident over the last 3 years, where risk assets have responded vehemently to additional liquidity provision, and we've had these remarkable persistent advances that have gone on for longer than many expected, and that have tended to become really quite overbought before liquidity starts to ebb, and we get these very deep and sharp pullbacks. Well, we're certainly, and that has given way to the risk-on, risk-off parlance. We're certainly in a risk-on environment at present. That would suggest that while there are mildly overbought conditions evident on some of these stock markets, that they do have additional upside potential, and clear downward dynamics would be required to check potential for additional upside for the vast majority of stock markets in this environment. When we look at potentially somewhat undervalued asset classes, then the industrial metal miners and industrials generally stand out as clear candidates to benefit from this reflation, and their stock market performance over the last week and more certainly helps to support that hypothesis. Over the last week, government bond prices have been pulling back rather sharply, and US Treasuries were very volatile in here today. They were as high as 148.14, as low as 146.05, and finished pretty much in the middle and unchanged on the day. The current area represents the lower side of the developing range and the upper side of the underlying trading range. And as such, it represents a place for people to ask, what's next? The commonality that's been evident in the sovereign bond markets over the last number of months has been really quite impressive. And the fact that bunds are the only market that have broken downwards over the last couple of months is notable. But this 140 area also represents an important area. And if the bearish case is to be borne out, then bunds will have to sustain that downward break. And they were stronger today by about 0.75 points. They're back above 140. Additional follow-through to the upside and a sustained move back above the 140 would increase the potential for a bounce from this area. Given the fact that we have central banks in printing mode and likely to lend support to a number of these regional markets, then it would be dangerous to become overly bearish. A rising tide tends to lift all boats, and while the yields that are evident, despite the little rally that we've had in the last couple of weeks, the yields evident on treasuries are risible from the perspective of anyone who wants to protect the purchasing power of their hard-earned cash over any kind of horizon. Negative real interest rates continue to flatter the commodity markets, where we're starting to see some real signs of a medium-term rally here. The continuous commodity index has pushed back above its 200-day moving average and is extending that advance. And that is being pushed higher not only by the industrial metals, precious metals, and energy complex, but also the soft commodities. Sugar, which has been among the weakest of the soft commodities, has found support, at least in the short term, and has been extending its short covering rally. Orange juice appears to be breaking out of its short-term range. And soybeans remain extraordinarily firm. The fact that the slaughter schedules had to be brought forward for cattle and hogs has created a short-term decline in those prices, but live cattle, particularly the December contract, is pushing on to new all-time highs at present. That's lending an additional bullish catalyst to the continuous commodity index. Corn is perhaps notable because it has pulled back to 773 cents, and a clear upward dynamic now would be required to question the medium-term top formation characteristics that are now evident. But that would be the only commodity that currently has clear, well, and perhaps not even that clear, evidence of top formation characteristics. Just about all other commodities do look like they're going to go higher from here. And the US dollar was weak today. It reversed some earlier strength, and the euro was stronger by 88 ticks. It's almost up to 130, and in fact it tested that area in here today. So it's pushing back above its 200-day moving average. The existential angst, which plagued the currency for much of the last year, has been thrown to the side, and that would suggest that the short covering that has been a factor of this market is giving way to a little bit more of a bullish aspect, and we could see some additional upside here for the euro. This isn't particularly bullish for the US dollar, and the US dollar has been weak over the last couple of weeks, and particularly against Asian currencies. And whereas it bounced rather emphatically against the Singapore dollar and the Philippine peso and the Taiwan dollar this morning, it's going to be interesting to see what happens tomorrow, because that rally is likely to have been undone given the fact that we've had this additional round of liquidity provision. So we remain very much within this risk-on environment, and as long as the flow of liquidity remains the dominant factor for most markets, then we have to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside, and particularly as long as the progressions of higher reaction lows that have been evident since May remain intact. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening. I'm going to be in China next week, and so this will be my last audio for at least a week, and I'll be back in the office on Tuesday the 25th. Have a great evening.